We're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I didn't want to rush through this, and I haven't. This lesson on the local church. We're on the last part of it today. And I'll kind of just give a quick overview, some of the questions we've asked. And first of all, we looked at what is the local church. We realized that it's not a building, that it is the body of Christ. Our bodies, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are the body, the temple of God, and we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We questioned what is the function of the local church, and the sole purpose of the local church is the teaching and preaching of God's word, fellowship with other believers, prayer. Observance of two ordinances, which is baptism and the Lord's Supper, to be a testimony of God's grace and power through our outworking through our lives to those around us, mutual assistance and ministry to reach out into the community to get people saved and bring them to church. You know, really, we're supposed to be leading people to Christ out there and bringing them into the church. The church is not for the lost, but we're not ever saying that they can't come because people get saved in church too. To glorify and praise God, we need to, we should be doing that through our lives, not just through our words, but our lives should show forth, praises to God. And the single most important priority of the local church is to edify, which is to build up, teach, or strengthen the saints. And that's according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 16. But then how do I function properly in the body, church body? Well, we need to start out, it's similar, or we compare it to physically growing up as from a child to a youth to an adult. And that's the same process spiritually we go through. We start out by just observing and learning from God's word, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we're rightly dividing the word of truth, people can wrongly divide it as well. So that's why we need to study and be in part of being God's word. But not only does it starts there, and that's comparison to a child. As it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, we need to just, and then you grow. And to the adolescent or the child youth age, you know, where we start participating and we get to a point to where we can begin to serve and take on some basic functions. But then at some point down the road, we want to continue to grow into adulthood. And that's where we have more responsibility. And as growth continues, we reach the point where we begin to minister to others. We're able to lead others and be in positions of leadership. That's how we function properly in the body of Christ. How do I find a particular local church that God wants me to serve through? Well, there's some simple questions that we're gonna mention, and then we're gonna move on. We're just kind of doing an overview. Do they believe and teach the Bible as the Word of God and an infallible guide for life? See, God's Word is our final authority, and that's. I don't know if you've heard the saying before. God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether we agree with it or not. It doesn't matter whether we say it's so or not, because God said it, and that's what we need to believe it and move on. And just because people don't believe there's a hell, it doesn't mean there's not a hell. Just because people don't believe that there's a God, it doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. That's just between them and the Lord. Is the membership encouraged to read and study the Bible as much as the leadership? We do encourage people to get in the Word and read it for yourselves. We need that private, personal time. We need the corporate time here at church with each other, but we need that time personally. Okay, do they minister to the needs of people? Do we help people? And yes, we do. And that's the thing when you're looking for a good church, do they help people? Do they send out and support missionaries? We have two missionaries that we support. So those are some things that you look for if you are looking for a good church. How am I related to other Christians? Well, the Bible tells us that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how we, We're part of the same family. We're fellow laborers in service for Jesus Christ. And just like our sister, we call them sister churches or people of like faith and practice. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're doing the same thing. We're at just a different location. That's why the church is autonomous. We're individual. We're independent. We don't depend on nobody else. It's self-governed. And that's the way each independent Baptist church is. What are my responsibilities towards other Christians? Well, we need to pray for each other. That's something we try to encourage all the time. We need to pray for each other. We are to minister to each other. We're supposed to be a help to each other. Minister just means to be to serve. Not only physically, but spiritually. We need to come alongside somebody. If you've been in the faith a long time, and you should be able to come by the side of somebody that hasn't been and teach them and help them and through the Word. And sometimes that's in the in the midst of doing discipleship. You know, you go along with them and teach, just like we're going through these lessons. We encourage and edify one another. Again, there's no time. Time is getting shorter as we get going, but Christ is coming back one day soon, and we need to encourage one another. We need not to be those that fight amongst each other or are always constantly in disagreements, which I don't think we're that way here. I think we're very friendly, very a nice atmosphere when people come. The young man that came the other night, he was from North Dakota. He said that everybody was very welcoming. I mean, it was just very friendly, and that's a good thing. You know, when people come, they should be, it should be hard for them to leave, should I say. When you're around people that care about you and then show interest in you, it's hard to leave, because we all want somebody to show interest in us. So we need to serve one another. What should be my attitude towards other Christians? Well, we should love them. We should be patient with them. Be sensitive to their needs. Be forgiving to each other. So there's several things here that we can look at. What is fellowship? Well, fellowship is a term commonly used by Christians, generally referring to getting together for activities or time sharing common interests. Well, true fellowship is around the things of Christ. That's what true Christian fellowship is all about when we're dealing with those things. Well, the last thing we're going to be looking at today is in Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to start there in verse 15, and we're going to read down through actually verse 35. But what if another Christian offends me? What if another Christian offends me? Unfortunately, this is probably will probably happen if you spend any time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There will be times of offense, hurt, and disagreement within the body of Christ, just as your physical family. If and when this happens, the Bible gives us definite progression of principles to deal with the matter. How should we respond in such a case? So, if another Christian offends me, well, the Bible tells us here in Matthew 18 and verse 15, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as the heathen man and a publican. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Then came Peter to him and said unto the Lord, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He said, "Till seven times." He posed a question to him, "Till seven times." And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And if you would multiply 70 times seven, that equals 490 times, if you want to be technical on the number. There is a king, then he likened it unto the kingdom. She said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, and said, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he would pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou hast desired me, and shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we see here the first thing we need to do when somebody offends us, or somebody, as it says there in verse 15, we need to take the offense directly to the other party first. We need to, when somebody does something wrong by you, it's not right to go around and tell other people about that situation, and it's not right to go out and share with everybody. You need to go straight to the horse's mouth. You got to go to the person who offended you. Now, if the person is not willing, as it says there in verse 16, is not willing to resolve the issue, you need to take somebody with you. If they're not willing to resolve it, you need to take somebody with you. It says take a leader of your church to attempt to mediate the situation. So you go to your pastor, if it's not your pastor. If it's your pastor that has offended you, then you need to maybe bring another fellow brother or sister from the church and say, hey, we're going to go deal with this. But usually if it's the pastor, he should be willing to work. And if he did say something wrong, he should be willing to admit it and then ask for forgiveness, and it should be mended. But we see here another couple instances. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And it's very similar to what we just read. But 17, starting in verses 3 through 6. It says, Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. But if he trespass against thee 7 times a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. I would have to say the same thing, increase my faith, Lord, because how hard is it to have somebody continually do you wrong, but the Lord tells us we need to forgive him anyway. If the Lord said, if he had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. It's hard when you have somebody continually causing or doing offenses towards you, but the Lord says, forgive them. And we're going to get into some more ramifications here, but we also see there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to be willing to bear one another's burdens, but not at our own expense to cast a bad shadow on our own testimony, and not to get ourselves into a situation that we don't want to be in. We're not to be, as they say, when you go to help somebody in danger, like in swimming or around, say, around electric lines down or something, they always say you want to make sure you look at your surroundings, because you don't want to get into the same boat and be out there with them. You got to be cautious. But that comes with spiritual growth, does it not? I mean, does not God give us wisdom to make right decisions? And there's some things that we should and should not do. And if there's a question in our mind, whether we do it or not, if there's a question, we should not do it. We shouldn't put ourselves out in that situation. So we see that if they don't, you're supposed to go with them first. If they're not willing to listen or not willing to do anything, then you need to take somebody with you. It says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You need to go to somebody in leadership, presumably, to try to mediate the situation, to try to make things better. We also see there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30 through 32. And it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Then he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." See, sometimes we find it difficult to forgive somebody else, but we got to be reminded continually from the Scriptures that Christ has forgiven us. He's done that for us, and then even, as it says, "But God commendeth his love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Okay? He came and died for each and every one of us before we even acknowledged him. And he's willing to forgive. So therefore, he's our example. We need to be like him. We need to be willing to forgive in that situation. See, the longer we go on and we don't deal with something, it's kind of like a sore or a wound that you don't deal with or you don't cleanse like it needs to be cleansed, but then it festers up and it gets infection and it just gets worse. It doesn't get better. And that's the same thing when we have some ought or something between two people in the body of Christ. It just drives people apart and there's division. Who's the author of division or chaos? Satan, the devil. Because God's a God of order. He wants things to run in order. But that's the thing, is we need to deal with things as quickly as possible. If we realize we have offended somebody, we need to go to them and say, "Hey, please forgive me." And I'm going to use me and my wife, but constantly there's times I'm doing stuff. Sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it. That's not always the case. In some cases I do it purposely. You know, we're guilty of that. But I go to her and I say, "Please forgive me. You know, I'm sorry for doing this." And I do my best not to do it again. But our relationships are built on forgiveness. That's how we keep on going. We have to be patient with you. I'm continually asking her to be patient with me. And because, you know something? Anybody who wants to put up with me all the time has to be patient. Because I'm not that perfect person. But I'm thankful for that. So there needs to be forgiveness. The next thing we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is where a lot of issues come from too, chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul's telling the Corinthian church, let's actually go back to verse 1, it says, "Dare any of you have a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, and are unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to the judge who are at least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud in that your brethren." And see, what he's saying here is simply, why are we taking these little matters that we could be settling between ourselves and we're getting the word involved? We go to a judge. It should not be that way. But we've But the church, Christians today have become so worldly and so far from God that they go to the world to have the world settle their problems when we should be doing it among ourselves. And that's what Paul's telling them here. We need not to go to the world and ask them to mediate or be a part of the problem. We need not to sue our brother, so to speak. And we live in a sue-happy world. People are, every time you turn around, you've got to be careful every moment, every time you do something, because people are trying to get free money. We live in that society today. And more so as the time goes on. So we need not to go to the lost to get our problem solved. A good reason, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says the natural man does not understand spiritual things. And it's also, when you do that, it's a bad reflection on our testimony and on Christ. Because when the world sees Christians not getting along, they're saying, well, we don't want to be like them. We have these problems already, you know. That's why we need to take it to the Lord. Okay, the last thing we see here is if the matter still cannot be resolved, okay, you go to them first by yourself. If that doesn't work, if you take two people with you to be witnesses, it says take it before the church. If that doesn't work, he's saying don't take it to the courts, don't take it to the world. But he says, if the matter still cannot be resolved, in verse 7 and 8, he says, now there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. We need to personally just accept the wrong. Just leave it at that. The first step is accept the wrong, okay? Sometimes when you have two people, there's no innocent party. There's usually something done. This person gets offended and then this person responds in a negative way. Two wrongs never make a right. It doesn't matter. If somebody done you wrong, you have no right going to them and doing something wrong back. You have no room to go to them and try to hurt them when you've been hurt. It's deal with it as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the Bible tells us. It's go to that person and deal with that in a right manner. So we personally need to accept the wrong, okay? There's no innocent party. Second of all, we need to commit the situation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will handle it justly. We need to commit it to Him. And what it means when it says commit to Him, it's about rolling it over on Him, taking the weight off, casting. He says, cast your cares upon me because He cares for you. He does care, and He will carry our burdens. He will carry those things. And that's how we make it through this crazy world we live in, is by casting all of our cares upon Him, because He's going to carry the load for us. But First Peter chapter 2, in verse 19 through 23, it says, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience sake, for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." How many, and then verse 23 says, "Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." So, Christ is our example. And everything that He went through, the Bible tells us He never said nothing. He was like a sheep going before the shears, and He was going to be slaughtered. He said nothing. He complained not. And of anybody, He had the right to do any of that stuff, but He never did it. Why? Because He was setting an example for us. We need to commit our situation to the Lord. We need to cast it upon Him. Because we, in and of ourselves, need to have a good testimony before God and before everybody in our church, before our community, before our families. We need to commit that situation. But then it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. So we need to simply just forgive our brothers. Why? For the simple fact, Christ forgave us. There doesn't have to be no other reason. If we just got to realize what the scripture says, we need to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to, regardless of whether they acknowledge it, if you went through all the steps and try your best to mend the situation and they're unwilling to do it, then you just simply forgive them, commit it to the Lord, and leave it alone. Move on. Don't let it affect the way you... See, I was told one time, when we sit there and stew on something for a long time, and I've been guilty of this, you're allowing that person to rent space in your head. And the only things that we should have in our head is what the scripture says. We should be memorizing scripture. We should allowing the Lord to take control of our thoughts. But see, a lot of that's never dealt with. Allowing the Lord, as it says, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to share this with you. It just came to my mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Very good passage. Verses 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, we got to realize, and it even says this in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God. The real battle is not between us. It's between God and Satan. And since we've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior and we're part of the body of Christ, Satan is going to try to do anything he can to try to tear us down and destroy us. And he has. Many times over, he's tried to do that. And when we give him an opportunity, when we're not acting right as believers towards each other, we give him an opportunity to try to destroy us. And that's wrong. We need to not. But it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations. That's all these thoughts we're having. Or if we're sitting here thinking about a situation with so-and-so, we need to let it go. Cast it down. And it says, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to cast it off. We need to give it to Christ. As it says, commit thy situation to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to let it go and allow God to deal with it. Because stop letting other people rent space in your head. That's what we got to do. The last thing we need to do, and this is where I think we find to be one of the hardest things to do, is we need to simply pray for our brother. Pray for him. Don't have evil thoughts about him. Don't think bad things about him. When's the last time you prayed for him? Matthew chapter 5, verses 43. It says, ye have heard it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. See, let God take care of the issue here. But he says we need to love our enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to love them. We need to. And again, what's the purpose of that? Well, it's showing forth the love of Christ. And maybe something might, if you treat them, you continue to treat them nice, you continue to look out for their good, and you continue to do that, you're casting coals upon their head. And you're not giving them any room to talk bad about Christ. Because our lives, we're professing Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like. So therefore, our life should show forth that. And if it's not showing forth that, then we're not living up to what we ought to be. And just the last message we heard Wednesday night from Brother Woodcock. And we should love the things that God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says, God so loved the world he gave. Okay? Well, we need to love our enemies. He says we need to bless them that curse you. We need to do good to them that hate you. That's hard. That's not easy. But it's only hard when we're acting in and of our own strength. If we would allow ourselves step out of the way. Paul says, I die daily. If we allow ourselves to step out of the way and allow Christ to work through us, imagine what we can do then. So we need to personally accept the wrong. We need to commit the situation to the Lord. We need to forgive our brothers. We need to pray for them. The last scripture we're going to look at is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. This is a lot to take in. But this is something we need to work on as Christians. When we're offended or we offend somebody, we need to deal with it. We need to move forward and deal with it and move on. Because the longer we let it go, the longer it has effect on the cause of Christ. And we're not doing what we ought to be. God can't work with people that are not working when there's division. He can't work. He wants to work with unity. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right. No matter what's been done to us, it's never right to retaliate. It's never right. We need to love our enemies. We need to pray for them. Have you ever heard the saying, well, who needs enemies when we got brothers or sisters? I mean, think about it. We need not to treat each other wrong. So if we need to go to them directly. If that doesn't work, we need to take somebody with us, two or three people. If that doesn't work, do not take it to court. That's not the right thing. But then the matter, if it still cannot be resolved, we need to personally accept the wrong, because there's usually something we've done wrong. Commit the situation to the Lord. Forgive one another. Forgive your brother. And we need to spend a lot more time praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for each other. And it, you know something? When you're praying for somebody, then you ain't got time to think bad about them. You ain't got time to talk about them. When you're praying for them, you're doing what the Bible, you're being obedient to the Lord, because the Bible tells us we need to pray for those people. Let's pray.